Good morning. Court Radio is now in session.
Welcome to Court Radio.
Call 1-800-359-1479.
And the lines are alight.
When you've got legal questions.
Do I have any legal recourse?
What are my rights in this situation?
Is that valid?
And I'm just wondering, what is the statute of limitations?
We've got the answer.
You can whip your pictures out in court and say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right. This is Court Radio.
Let me go get the popcorn. This sounds like fun.
And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Mr. David.
Yes, I got the first word in today.
You did, and you'll be rewarded for that in the next life.
In the next life. Right.
This is Court Radio, and I'm Dean Weitzman.
And I'm David Rappaport.
Hello, David Rappaport.
Hello, Dean Weitzman.
Welcome to Court Radio. Folks, you're here, and we're here to answer your questions. This is Court Radio. We're 100.3 WRNB. On your dial, and you know what we do here, and if you don't, we're going to tell you. We answer legal questions one at a time. You only get one question. Don't answer it. Don't ask a second question.
Nope.
You'll get the boot.
Snapped.
Oh! Yeah.
There it is.
Too many people, too many questions. We can't allow the show to become, you know, a multi-question, multi-choice show.
Can't service everybody.
No. But we can try to do our best, one question at a time. If you're listening and you'd like to talk to us, you can reach us at 215-263-1003. How do you like that? Got it right the first time.
Finally.
And, yeah. 215-263-1003. If that's the number you want to call, give us a call. We'll answer your questions. If it's not a legal question, we'll still give it our best shot, wouldn't we, David?
Yes, we will.
Yes.
We'll come up with something that sounds reasonable and like it's the right answer. So
there you go.
You'll never really know.
You'll feel good.
You'll feel right.
That's
all that matters.
What's going on in the either politics or some legal issues around town today,
well,
David?
Let's go first to the politics because I know you love Chris Christie and any story involving Chris Christie. So you did hear about...
He does make a fine specimen for Sunday morning early.
You did hear about him lashing out to a doctor, actually.
I did. You know, I was away on vacation. I had my once every decade vacation, and I went to some island down in a warm
undisclosed
area. Undisclosed island. I'm back.
Good.
It's cold in Philly a little bit.
And snowy.
What January and February were like back home. And while I was gone, word floated down to me on the island that Governor Christie had a meltdown. He had a meltdown.
Another meltdown.
Now, before we get to the meltdown, let's talk about his multiple meltdowns. I'm being completely serious now. The dude has got some issues. He's got some anger issues.
He's a little temper-centric, I guess you could call it, right?
Temper-centric?
Yeah, you like that?
Whoa.
I just came up with that.
It's an egocentric.
It's a nice way of saying he's a little, you know, loose cannon with the temper.
Yeah.
The
last time we visited with Chris, he was on the boardwalk in, you know, one of the beach towns that
shoveling,
got washed away, actually.
Shoveling ice cream in his mouth.
Yeah, he was popping a cone of ice cream in his mouth on the boardwalk, which, you know, was only funny because he's 700 pounds or whatever he is. He's very heavy. It kind of flew in the face of his, you know, claim to try to lose weight. But he flipped out on somebody because they had made a comment or they engaged him.
They were asking about education, something about one of the bills he was, I don't remember the exact issue, but it was someone asking him a legitimate question, just, you know, but during his downtime, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And he just flipped out and started to kind of like foam at the mouth and scream at the guy on the boardwalk,
right.
Which it's really ugly for the leader of a state to act that way.
But that wasn't the one. The other ones you're talking about, really, the ones that were really publicized were, I think, two instances where he was at press conferences and a question was asked of him and he just sort of went off on the reporter.
Yeah.
You know, like just screamed at them in this press conference. and said just, you know, ridiculous.
What was the woman? Sarah Palin.
Palin.
He's kind of the Sarah Palin of this year or these, you know, the this
wow.
period. And what I mean by that is he's the de facto leader of the Republican Party. they're pushing him to be the next president.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
were they? Until he dissed them about five times when Obama came and helped.
Yeah,
for Sandy, and
that's really actually the one shining moment in my view of Chris Christie recently is that he in a very crucial period of time he put what appeared to be the people of New Jersey ahead of his political aspirations.
Yeah, but in his defense, I mean, comparing him to Sarah Palin is such a, he's much more intelligent, I think. I mean, that's my opinion, but,
okay.
What a diss that is to him to say he's like Sarah Palin.
Well, man. He's just, I only meant that in the sense that, she became the laughingstock of the party, and he's kind of doing the same thing with this ridiculous temper tantrums.
Anyway, what are we talking about? We're talking about this. He's on Leno. Jay Leno, and they get into a conversation about his weight, and he says, "I'm the healthiest fat man you'll ever see. I have my blood pressure's fine, my cholesterol's fine, everything checks out. I'm healthy. I'm just fat. And yes, I've tried to lose weight, and then I go through bouts of, I gain it back again. And this is just me, and I'm healthy."
Yeah. And what do we all say to that, folks? Well, we say the guy's he's in denial.
Well, so
okay?
Then,
I mean, the guy's in denial. A doctor called.
Well,
right?
not just a doctor, the White House doctor.
The White House doctor. Not the current White House doctor. A doctor who once was
a former
White House.
I'm not sure what president.
And you would think that those doctors are top notch. I mean, they're looking after the president of the United States. We don't know. She could have been looking after a Republican.
Right. She says on CNN. She said that she was concerned if he became president or some in higher power than he is now, that he could die of a stroke or a heart attack.
So unreasonable?
That's all she says.
Yeah. Is that so unreasonable? The guy is morbidly obese. I mean, you saw him. He waddles around. He's in like a size 52 jacket or something. He's very, very heavy.
Right.
And if that's not, it's almost like he's walking around, those comic things, those little bubbles with, words over the person's head.
Right.
Okay.
Like balloon or whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Christie is walking around with a balloon over his head that says, "I'm an addict." Okay. Because, there's no way that a man his size could lose and gain and lose and gain and... he is addicted to food. He's eating food so he can feel comfort. It's like he's milking a breast. Okay, I mean that's what the dude is doing. I mean,
oh wow,
he is. He can call here and he can scream and have a temper tantrum. Nothing changes the fact that Chris Christie is a bona fide addict in denial. That's it. That's my opinion. End of story on Chris Christie. 215.
Well, you didn't say what he did.
He had a meltdown.
He called her. He called her and went crazy on her.
And guess what? If that's not proof that he's an addict, I mean, to somebody who really truly, like, if somebody called me fat, okay, I'm husky, say, okay,
okay,
but somebody calls me fat, that's all right. I'm okay with that.
Well, you just say, whatever, shut up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the worst you say to him.
Well, maybe I need to lose a few pounds even.
What, right. Thank
do
you.
I, do I, right. Do
You're
I go,
right, I do, right?
Do I go nuts? No. Then people who go nuts who don't want to hear what somebody has to say. 215-263-1003. Do you think Chris Christie is too fat? Do you think he should be the president with his temperament? I don't think so. That's my opinion. Let's talk to Ira from Chester. Hey, Ira, how are you, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't know if Chris Christie's too fat or not, but I think he'll make a great president.
Yeah.
There are some big people that are overweight, but there's thin people that are underweight, but they're heavier people in some cases are more healthier. So I'm not a doctor. I'm going to leave that up to him and his physician, I'm sorry. I have a question regarding landlord and tenant issue.
Okay.
The question is that I have a tenant that's currently receiving Section 8, and she has not paid her rent. And Section 8 came out for a housing inspection and said, "Okay, Mr. Landlord, you do these things, and Ms. Tenant, you do these things." Well, Mr. Landlord goes out to do the things, and she keeps claiming that she's sick. She can't let me in. I was able to get in and do a few things down in the basement, but there's things in her bedroom that I can't do. I can't get in her bedroom to do. So she tells me that, no, you can't come in. I'm walking around the house naked, no clothes on, and I don't want you to come in my house, ma'am. I'm saying, well, you know this. You know that we had to come out here now for like a month now, and every week you're giving me a different story. What can I do, guys, at this point? Now, if what happens is that if Section 8 comes back out on their inspection, they can find that these things that are not done, they're going to obviously stop paying me.
Okay, here's what you can do. You can evict her. Okay, because I'm sure if you look at your contract, and again, here's the answer to your question. What you can do or can't do is always, it has to be contained in the four corners of the document you signed with her called a lease. And in that lease, it gives you the right to inspect the property and make repairs, most likely. And so if she is forbidding you from entering the property with proper notice, you've given her notice, and she forbids you to enter the property, then she is in violation of her lease. It isn't only that she doesn't pay you that gets her possibly kicked out of the property. There are other breaches of that contract. It sounds to me like she has committed a breach of the contract to which you could seek her removal.
I would also contact Section 8 because they have requirements for their tenants to meet, as well as the landlords.
I have contacted Section 8, so that's between you and her.
Okay.
Well, then I agree with Dean. That's right.
Go back to Dean as usual. And
that sounds ridiculous to me that Section 8 would say that, because I know there's requirements for both the landlord and the tenant to qualify for Section 8. So
I'm saying I'm going over top of my caseworkers here and go to Philadelphia. Maybe once some man at the main building will be able to get involved and help us out. We do want to get in there and do this stuff.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think you should do it if you want to. I mean, if you don't want to get rid of the tenant, then your only option is to go above that Section 8 person you spoke to and try and get Section 8 involved. But
hey, listen, file for 50 bucks, $100, you file a landlord-tenant complaint. At the very least, you'll get her attention. All right, Ira from Chester, thanks for giving us a call, and have a great Sunday, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Let's see. At least we got to the bottom of
but
that.
But I agree with Ira's first comment, though, about, you know, we can joke
that,
and
that
joke.
That Chris Christie will make a great president?
Well, no. That well. What is the
that a fat person can be a great president?
No. Let me finish.
Of
real
course
quick.
They can.
That the fact that he's overweight, and I've said this before to you, I agree with some of the comments you make. Yes, he's overweight. He may have a problem. He may not be healthy. Maybe that should not bear. Just the fact that he's overweight should not be a decision that disqualifies him from being president.
I would never.
That's his personal deal. Let him deal with that.
I agree with you.
Okay, but you just said
I never said it should be a singular factor should disqualify him.
All right.
But if people don't consider that as being an issue in, you know, voting for somebody, then you're not looking at the whole picture.
Okay, I got you.
215-263-1003. Let's talk to Linda from Northeast Philly about breaking an apartment lease. How did we get into landlord tenant?
I don't know, because we're not talking about that today. We'll tell you what we're talking about.
Hey, Linda, what's happening, dear?
Hi, I'm calling to find out how can I get out of a lease. I just moved into an apartment December 15th of last year, and numerous of things have been going on since I've been there. When I first went to look at the apartment that they said that I would be moving in was a different apartment than what I signed the lease for. And also, ever since I've been there, I noticed that they didn't do a turnover. When you first move into an apartment, they're supposed to do a turnover. A lot of things wasn't done, like the painting in the apartment wasn't done right. A light fixture wasn't done. My dishwasher was broke. It was a lot of things that's just not... that was up the par to
Here's the answer, Linda. Linda, your answer is the same answer I just gave to Ira, and that is your rights are all contained within the lease. If they have, you know, breached the agreement, if they promised to do X, Y, or Z and they haven't done it, then possibly that's the basis for, you know, you canceling the contract and walking away scot-free, so to speak. It has to be a substantial breach of the agreement. you have to have given them an opportunity probably to have remedied it. They've have to have failed to take that opportunity. Then you begin to set yourself up to get out of there. And so, you know, you can leave. And if they have done those things that I, you know, told you to look out for, breaches of the agreement, then they if they try to sue you, you can defend yourself by showing the violations of the contract that they performed or didn't perform. You know, so that's the way I would do it.
Okay. Do you think I need an attorney at this point? Because it's a lot more that's going on that I don't even have time or airtime that you may not have to go on about a lot of other things.
Well,
that's going on.
Here's the answer to that. It's always a good idea to get somebody to look at your actual documents and give you some tips or a legal opinion. And to do that, you call us at the office during the week at 215-227-2727. And then on landlord-tenant matters such as this, you're going to ask for our esteemed lawyer, Saul Langsam, who does the landlord-tenant work at the office. So you ask for Saul, you call that number, and he'd bring you in and have a consultation with you and review the contract. And okay?
Thank you.
That's my pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, if you ever want to reach us during the week and we're not around on Court Radio here at WRNB, you can always get us at 215-227-2727. That's the home of My Philly Lawyer, and that's where we reside Monday to Friday, and usually every other weekend, too. Okay, well, David, we got
to
move on.
Yes, let's move to our topic.
Our hot topic of the day. You know what's coming up this week, David? I want to give you a hint.
V-Day.
Yes, that's right. It's VD Day. it's Valentine's Day, and Kyle, our esteemed engineer / producer, is wearing red today in honor of Valentine's Day. He recently got married too, to his he's definitely not married. He's thinking of getting married. There you go. He's contemplating marriage, and in contemplating marriage, Kyle wanted to know about prenups. So we decided to devote today's show to
prenups.
There you go.
Or postnups. We can talk about all of it.
Hey, you know, are prenups just for guys like Donald Trump? Did Donald ever get married? Is Donald married?
Yes, he is.
He is married.
To the second wife.
Or is it a third?
Maybe a third.
Or fourth.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know. And is she an American? Does she have her citizenship? Was she birthed here, or was she born by an orangutan?
It's interesting you bring that up. No, I'm not going to go there, but just as an aside, the birth certificate he did produce in the story we'll talk about later wasn't really a full birth certificate. It was, you know, back he was born in 1940s or 30s or something, probably 40s or 50s. But it had a barcode on it, and it was a copy. It wasn't really the real one. So the Donald needs to get his long form out so we can see if he's the spawn of an orangutan or not. we'll explain that later.
All right, so.
But anyway, prenups.
Prenups. You know, with Valentine's Day right around the corner, right, we figured it was time to do a domestic relations-like show. We brought in the expert in Philadelphia on domestic relations and prenups. He's got all his notes, and he's ready to go. Roger Epstein, welcome to Court Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Yeah, just get right up to that mic, and you'll be fine. So, you know, we started the episode here talking about prenups and asking if it's just for folks like Donald Trump. Do you have an opinion on that?
Sure, they can be useful to anybody who wants to get married and plans to be married for a long time. Anybody, I would say, who potentially would acquire assets that would be subject to equitable distribution. You can improve your situation in a divorce greatly, depending on your status vis-a-vis your spouse, if you have a prenuptial agreement.
How complicated is it? How expensive is it for an ordinary, you know, citizen who's planning to get married to come in and get a document that gives them that protection?
Not terribly expensive. I would say you can get one for $500 to $750, depending on the complexity of the document. And that depends on what you're trying to accomplish and what you're trying to set aside. As a starting point, we would look at what would happen if you got divorced under the present divorce code. And what you're trying to do with the prenup is change the rules of the game to your advantage. So that you look at what would happen if you got divorced if you had certain assets.
What if you weren't getting married, but you were just living with somebody? I mean, you're a person of, you know, relative means. You have some assets, and you're about to move your girl in or your guy into your abode. Is that a situation that you should stop? You know, like when I was a Boy Scout, you have to when you're getting near a train track, you have to stop, listen, you know. Watch? Is that like a warning sign before you even cohabitate?
Well, it's a good idea to think about it before you cohabitate. There's no common law marriage in Pennsylvania, so you don't have to worry about that. If you start entangling your assets with a significant other who you're not married to, you may have a problem if you then break up. If you buy a house together with somebody who's your boyfriend or girlfriend, you get have an ownership interest there. If you get a joint bank account, anything like that, you can't file for divorce if you're not married to the person.
What about palimony? People hear about that. That was a California thing at some point. You know, they're always on the cutting edge of everything. And they didn't have, it wasn't even based on a marriage or even a common law marriage. They had this thing called palimony. What is that?
That's really not recognized in Pennsylvania absent a written agreement between two parties who are not married. If there's there's some case law on it. If there's a very specific agreement that says I will live with you and I will take care of you for the rest of your life, but we're not getting married, that might be binding. But absent an instrument like that, it's very hard to prove any kind of a verbal contract, just like in anything else. A promise to do something is not going to be enforceable.
Interesting. So in Pennsylvania, if that, you know, we do, and we really broadcast to New Jersey and Delaware and Pennsylvania and by the via the internet, the rest of the world. But we're talking right now in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, if you're not married, you don't have any intention of becoming married or holding yourself out as a married person, we don't recognize common law. We don't recognize palimony to the extent that it isn't just going to happen and bite you by accident. I mean, unless you signed a very specific document like you describe. Palimony is not a concern. The worst is entangling your assets, sort of like David. You know, David, you've entangled your assets. You've bought a house. You're not married.
No.
Your significant other and you have entangled your assets.
We have.
You tangled.
We're entangled.
Yeah. 215-263-1003. Folks, if you're thinking about getting married or you got questions for Roger about palimony or common law or whether you have entangled assets, today this is the day to give us a call. 215-263-1003.
Well, here's my question. We were talking about it just, we mentioned it a little earlier. Let's say the two people are, you know, young. They meet, they want to get married. They're scheduled to get married. They're engaged. They really don't have any appreciable assets. They're students, let's say. They're graduating. They have debt. They don't really own anything, and they live in an apartment. They intend to live in an apartment. What is it that they can do? I mean, certainly they can think about the future, but what is it? Should they think about some type of prenup? Can they even do a prenup if they don't have assets?
They can do a prenup because you can have provisions in there that deal with acquired assets that will be acquired in the future.
Okay.
If they're students, they may be getting relatively lucrative jobs down the road. They may have a medical practice if they become a doctor or
right.
a dentist, which would be a substantial asset. So you could have a provision in a prenup that says their business is theirs. It's not going to be part of the marital estate if they acquire it.
Right.
I mean, it's correct that usually people think about prenups when they're on a second marriage or when they have a substantial estate. Often the person that decides they want to think about getting a prenup is the one who's the dominant spouse economically.
Gotcha.
Folks, we're going to come right back. Let's hear from Lynn from Oak Lane, who has a comment on the health of the president.
Okay.
Good morning, guys. I enjoy your show. You're talking about prenups. I was thinking if Chris Christie ever ran for president, he would have to kind of sign a health prenup. I remember when George Bush was president, I despised his politics, but I admired how physically fit he was. I remember when they threw a shoe at him at a press conference, And he got out of the way pretty quick and saying, I think they threw two shoes at him. And
the cocaine will do that for you.
He ducked pretty quickly. He was in great physical shape. Again, I despise his politics, but I felt like, you know, I think the health of a president is something that is important, and I think it's not discriminatory. You want the president of the United States in great physical shape. So I think it is a consideration to run. So, you know, he would need to show me that he was going to get in shape before he ran for president. So yeah, that was just my comment.
Thank you, Lynn. I think you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, first of all, Chris Christie would have gotten hit squarely in the head by that shoe, okay, because that he was not getting out of the way of anything. But more importantly, I mean, really, if we go with the idea that he suffers with addiction, okay, I mean, we've seen people, you've seen the TV shows where somebody's like, you know, 700, 800 pounds, they have to be buried in a piano case.
Right. Okay, they can't leave the house. Right?
It takes it to a level above Chris Christie, but not unimaginable.
Yeah, but it's never been a concern. Look at our history, okay? Has it ever been a concern before? Yeah, sure. George W. Bush was healthy. Let's go back, though. Clinton, you could argue maybe he wasn't. He liked burgers. He had a little heart issue. But we had a surplus, and we weren't in a deficit when he was president, and the economy was great.
He wasn't as fat as Chris Christie. I'm sorry.
Okay, but just being fat doesn't mean...
How fat?
Just being fat.
At some point, if Chris Christie was 800 pounds, would you have the same opinion, David?
Well, let me ask you a better question. If Chris Christie was going against his opponent to be president, you only had two choices. You had Chris Christie in his current condition, or you had someone who had known heart disease, needed a bypass and had it, quadruple bypass, but they had it. Now they're, you know, okay. They have medication that they're taking. They have high blood pressure. Which one do you choose?
Well, that's two bad choices.
Well, I mean, okay, exactly, but still.
Yeah, that's just two bad choices. Yeah. But I'm saying, look, Chris Christie, aside from the fat thing, okay, and the unhealthy, he's really not, he's an addict. He's an addict. He's eating food obsessively.
So what, addicts can't be, like, you don't know what every president, Obama has been known to smoke cigarettes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Would you call that an addiction?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
All right.
But Chris Christie's one is one that can be fatal. And you know, Obama might suffer from COPD in his later years because of his smoking. You know, right. But it's not going to affect him now. But I don't know. 215-263-1003.
Tough issue.
Lynn, thanks for calling in on the health of Chris Christie.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. We're going to have some announcements, sponsors of Court Radio. We'll be right back in 2 minutes with Roger Epstein. We're talking prenups. If you've got any questions, give us a call. If you've been injured in an automobile accident, you know what matters. Being able to afford medical care, providing for your family while you're out of work, knowing your rights and getting just compensation. These things matter. That's why your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been injured in an auto or truck-related accident, My Philly Lawyer will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weissman.
Okay, we're back, folks. This is Court Radio. I'm Dean Weissman, the host of Court Radio, joined by my co-host, David M. Rappaport.
Hello.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, hey.
All right, we were, you know, folks, in the beginning of the show, we were talking about two things. We're going to just briefly touch upon one. One was Chris Christie and his weight. The man had a meltdown with a doctor who accused him of being at risk for throwing a stroke because of his weight. And Chris's rebuttal was, "I'm the healthiest fat man you'll ever find." And I think that just keeps him going in denial. And it really, it supports folks who are suffering with, you know, obesity. It really does them a disservice, because really we all need to take care of our weight. And, you know, there was a time, David, when smoking like was glamorized, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. the stars were smoking sure. cigarettes. They all died of lung cancer ultimately, and they were all a drain on the system. That's really becoming the thing for this new millennium, I think, is that, obesity, you know, well, just generally, we have to stay healthy, because if we don't stay healthy, then we use more medical care, and using more medical care costs all of us more money. And from that perspective, Chris isn't really, you know, I mean, when you're carrying an extra 200 pounds around, it does damage to your hips, your joints. You're going to have more, you know, orthopedic surgery later in life. He isn't going to win that argument with any doctor, and certainly not with me, that he's the healthiest fat man around. Okay, Chris, stop it. You're making a fool of yourself. 215-263-1003. We're also joined by Roger Epstein, who's talking about prenup agreements, jokingly, in the face of Valentine's Day. You know, we all have the best of intentions when we get married. We walk down the aisle. We think everything is going to be sweet and be forever. But the fact of the matter is that 50% of marriages, or more maybe, end in divorce.
I think it's more than 50 now.
I don't know, but it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot. And Roger sees folks who are trying to get divorced all the time. And what we're talking about today is taking some steps before you seal the deal that will give you some protection when you become one of those 50%ers. Roger, how can you craft this document? You know, so one of the callers asked a question about whether you could have your spouse is about to engage in a very expensive educational endeavor, at the end of which they may owe a couple $100,000 for their education. Number one, is that a marital debt? If only one spouse is going to school during their marriage, they incur this debt. Is that spouse's debt, or is it a marital debt?
Under the divorce code, it's a marital debt. Regardless, one of the important things under the Pennsylvania Divorce Code is the title to things is much less important than the date of acquisition. So if you take out a loan, whether it's in joint names, wife's name, or husband's name, if it's taken out during the marriage and not at the end of the marriage in anticipation of separation, the court's going to treat it in divorce as marital.
All right, so all debt acquired during marriage is marital debt.
Right, and assets work largely the same way. So if you buy a house during the marriage, even if it's only in husband's name because wife has poor credit going into it, it's going to be treated as a marital asset. When they're separating, whatever the equity is in the house is going to be the marital asset.
So back to my question, can you craft a document in a prenup before marriage, can you craft a document that excludes that educational debt?
Absolutely. You can say specifically if one party goes to school, or you could simply say that debt, if it's not commingled, that the debts owed at the time of separation by wife or wife's sole responsibility and husband's debts are his debts.
Okay. Now, can you get out of this? I mean, if a husband and a future husband and a wife enter into a prenuptial agreement, they're married for 5 or 6 years. The agreement doesn't have an end date. Can one spouse say, I didn't mean to do that?
They can try, and it's a real uphill battle to get a court not to declare a prenuptial agreement valid. Absent fraud, misrepresentation, or duress, the court's going to say that it's binding on the parties as long as, and this is real important, there's full disclosure, which means usually you would attach to the prenup a schedule that says husband's premarital assets are the following, with a list of what he has and an approximation of the values, and one for wife, so that there's nothing hidden. Just like any other contract, if there's fraud, if there's a misrepresentation, that's a good reason for the court to say, I'm not going to honor it.
Okay, folks, so if you entered into one of these deals and you find out that your spouse held back information, that in unto itself could be a basis for voiding the agreement.
You know, we're talking a lot about these prenups, and obviously prenup supposes that you're entering into a contract prior to getting married. Is it too late once you get married to enter into some type of similar agreement?
No. You can
do it at any time, right?
You can.
Okay, so that would be called, I guess, post-nup.
Right.
Meaning it's just after you get married. But my question would be, you get married, you don't have an agreement, you acquire an asset, you're married, so it's a marital asset, then you enter into an agreement. Can you dictate that that's not a marital asset? And you can dictate anything, I guess, in the contract,
sure.
Right?
Sure. Okay. If it's jointly titled, it would be difficult if you bought a house together and put both names on it. If you bought a house or an asset only in one party's name, you could then create a agreement that designates it as non-marital.
Right. So the bottom line is, it's a contract is a contract. This is no different than any other contract in some respects.
Correct.
You can enter into it whenever you want.
You can also enter into a bad contract.
There
used to be, a while back, the courts would go bend over backwards to try to avoid a prenuptial agreement if it looked really unfavorable, usually to the economically disadvantaged spouse.
Right.
Nowadays, they don't do that. They won't look substantively into the contract to say it's not a fair contract. In the same way, in the business world, they're not going to void a contract just because one party got the better of the other party, unless there's really fraud involved.
You know, folks, if you're listening to us, we're talking about prenups, postnups, as David says, and all things marital with Roger Epstein. If you'd like to give us a call, you can reach us at 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Anthony, who's got a comment about Governor Christie's weight. Yo, Anthony, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, good morning.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Anthony. Good morning. Welcome to Court Radio. What's your comment?
You know, you're that size, because I'm that size or bigger. Once a person stops moving around, when he's that size, all those things start to attack your system, like diabetes, heart disease. All those things begin to attack you at one time. At this point, he can be it, you know? I continue to move around and change his diet. But once all those things happen, they collectively start to beat you down. I had two TIAs. What TIAs is, they're called small strokes. And if those strokes were small, nobody wants a big one.
There you go.
That's
so
true.
You can't bathe yourself. You can't clean between your toes. There's certain things you can't do that you lose your ability to do. You have to have help to do them. So I would suggest to him, keep moving around, Governor, and find out why he's eating like that. Because sometimes eating is emotional.
Oh, for sure. We've been talking about that, Anthony. And thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Sunday.
You as well.
All right. Yeah, definitely. We know Governor Christie is emotional. I mean,
yeah,
you
right.
know, the man melts down regularly, and so we could assume that, you know, he's cuddling up to some fatty food because he feels bad about himself. You know, he hates himself, and he just needs something to make himself feel good. And it's the, you know, the Doritos or the Twinkies or the ice cream cones. And yes, maybe somebody's couch would do the governor good to lie down and talk about his feelings. 215-263-1003. You got comments about Governor Christie. Or if you got questions for Roger Epstein, today's the day to talk about prenups, postnups, nups, or not nups, as the case may be. Let's talk to William from West Deptford. Yo, William, welcome to Court Radio.
How you guys doing? Thank you.
My pleasure, and we're doing just fine, thanks. What's your question?
I got a ticket for a bad inspection on my car, and I was told by a police officer that if I go and get the car inspected within 15 days after the ticket, he would throw the ticket out.
Right.
So we got the car inspected and took the copy of the inspection down to 913 Silver Street, submitted it to the lady and everything. And she said, all right, we'll do an investigation, and you'll be notified in the mail. So I got the notification in the mail, and the individual who made the decision said I'm still held liable for the ticket. Couldn't understand that.
Money. That's my
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm not so sure.
I don't.
Are
think
you aware if that's enumerated in the law, Dean?
Yeah, I am not aware.
I don't
aware.
Think it is. Yeah,
I'm not aware of a statute that says you get a 15-day grace period.
Although it may be in the violation.
I was told that by a police officer.
I'll, we can look up the violation and see that.
I got news for you, though, William. The police officers don't always know what the law is.
Well, wait, let me. What's the violation number? Do you have it in front of you?
No, I don't have it in front of me.
All right, I'm going to try and find that answer before we go off the air. How about that?
All right, keep listening, William. We'll try to get you an answer to that.
Can I make one comment on Mr. Christie?
Sure. Go ahead.
Sure.
And, you know, this is what people probably don't know. All elected government officials got free health care that we pay for.
Yep.
So why can't he go to the gym?
There you go.
They don't even pay for their health care, but yet we pay for theirs, and yet...
Well, that's the bigger... Yeah, that is definitely the bigger question is, as we move forward and healthcare becomes such a big issue in America, we all have to be mindful of the healthcare we use. The question is whether we should be paying for healthcare for somebody who refuses to acknowledge he has a problem and deals with it. Well, that's going to be a question for another day. But, William, we thank you for giving us a call, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you, guys.
All right. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Carolyn from North Philly, who's got a marital asset question. Carolyn, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. You have a question for Roger. Shoot.
Yeah, because I'm listening to y'all. So one of my questions is, if you say you already have a house and you marry and then y'all divorce, will they make you sell your house and give your spouse?
Good question. The answer is this. Under Pennsylvania law, if you have a premarital asset that you bring to the marriage, then the value of the asset as of the date of the marriage is backed out, meaning is non-marital. But if it increases in value, then the increase in value of the house, and that could be because you paid down a mortgage or because the rate, the value of the house on the market goes up, or both, that would be the marital component. So if the house was worth $40,000 at the time you got married, and it's now worth $80,000, it grew by $40,000, that would be the amount. They would not necessarily make you sell the house if you had the ability to come up with the cash. If you did a 50-50 split, mm-hmm, and you owed your husband $20,000, half of that $40,000 growth, if you had an alternative, you could borrow $20,000 and pay him off, then that's fine. The court would not arbitrarily say you have to sell a property unless it's the only alternative. We have cases where the parties are mortgaged up to the hilt, where the you know, mortgage is $3,000 a month. They can't possibly pay it alone, and when they split up, the house sometimes gets sold even before the divorce goes through.
Okay.
All right.
And that would even fall if you refinance. I mean, you know, did a home equity loan or something like that too.
Well, they would look at the value of the house when you were getting married. One of the things that we do, there are a few realtor, in cases like that, what you usually end up doing in a divorce is getting two appraisals of the property. One, the current value, and then you go back and look at the comparables when you got married, what was the property worth, so you know how much equity you had at the time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Lynn, thanks for calling us. Have a great Sunday. All right, bye-bye, dear. Let's talk to Darcel from Nicetown. Darcel, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how are you?
We're well, thank you. What's your question?
My question is, I'm trying to find out, I'm going to litigation on Tuesday. 3 years ago, I stepped out of my car, and I stepped into a hole, which threw me back into my car, and I had inquire a rotator cuff injury. I went to physical therapy, but now my lawyer is telling me that only one person in that parking lot area, which those department stores are being rented, I needed to know who is responsible for the injury. Who is responsible?
Well, that's a very difficult question to ask because the answer is it could be multiple parties. Let me give you a for instance. First of all, if it's 3 years ago, the answer is whoever you sued better be responsible, because if they're not, it's too late to add anybody at this point because the statute of limitations has run against anybody you haven't sued. But assuming you have all the necessary parties in this lawsuit, if you're on a commercial property and it's, let's say, a strip mall, and the strip mall is owned by somebody, it may be managed by a third party, and they may have a parking lot contractor who's responsible for doing the cleanup of ice and snow and pothole filling. So right there, you have possibly three responsible parties. The owner is never not responsible. Okay. The owner is always a good answer, and then the management company, whose job it is to manage the property for the owner, is usually always responsible. And then they may have contracted with a subcontractor to do repairs in the parking lot. And then lastly, you theoretically, if you're going to a particular store and this pothole is in front of that store, they may be responsible if they know about the pothole and they know that they're guests or their customers may encounter that pothole and they haven't warned you about it, they may be responsible. So there's four parties. The answer is, what we try to do at My Philly Lawyer is to sue early and sue everybody who may be at fault.
And okay, then, and that's what was done and through then, my lawyer.
And then we let God sort it out, you know.
Okay, I just needed to know this for sure because I was kind of really not feeling the lawyer, the attorney that I had, because in my deposition, on all of my papers that I have received from the lawyers, they sued 10 different entities in the lot.
Uh-huh, yep.
But it was said to me that they only did that to find out who exactly was responsible.
Yeah, well, you never know. And if you wait, and you, let's say you only sue one party, you think that's the right party, but you later subsequently find out you missed somebody that's important. And as I said, that 2-year statute of limitations has run. Oh, well, you're out. And now your lawyer becomes the defendant because he failed to sue a necessary party. So it's not bad to sue too many people, because you can always let the people out who don't belong in there at some later time.
Okay.
And you know, that's where the answer goes. Okay? Darcelle?
Okay. Darcelle? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Darcelle. And good luck on Tuesday with your upcoming litigation.
Thank you so much.
215-263-1003. We're joined by Roger Epstein, who is talking prenups and postnups. Once you sign them, you can't usually get out of them unless you show fraud. It's not that big a deal to enter into one. Is it happening more often now? Do you find that you're seeing, I mean, how long have you been practicing, Roger?
I've been practicing about 22 years, but domestic work about 16.
Okay, that's a long enough time. During those 16 years, have you seen an uptick in the number of prenups you're doing?
A little bit, yeah. We're getting more people that are cognizant of doing that, more people that are calling to look into doing a prenuptial agreement.
And as you said, it's not that difficult to do, and probably more people should be doing it. What do you think, David?
Absolutely. Especially, like I said, it could be done at any time, but I think especially if you're going into the marriage with either an appreciable asset or debt, an appreciable debt, you know, your significant other has it, or you have children from a prior marriage, because that involves, you know, what happens when you pass away. And, you know, there's certain rules that are going to apply in the marriage that could affect that. So you might want to circumvent those rules and dictate what you want to happen with your money.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like it's that big a deal financially.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Roger's talking $5,000, $7,000, even if it were $1,000.
Right.
I mean, and really that educational debt is monumental.
Yes.
You're about to marry somebody who just got accepted to nursing school, and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to marry a nurse, and she's going to, you know, she'll make a nice living, and everything's going to be okay. But the nursing school is going to cost her $100,000. You know, do you want to be responsible for that $100,000 if 3 years later, after she gets her nursing degree, you and she break up and you're on the hook for half of that?
Well, that's like, I think of the perennials, the old school scenario, which was the housewife who doesn't work, who sits at home and takes care of all the children while her spouse goes to school and racks up all these bills. And then as soon as he gets the job as the high, My Philly lawyer or whatever, boom, it's over. And then they have, there's a situation. They're responsible for half of those bills.
They are responsible for all the bills and all the debt. And that debt can become very catastrophic.
But nowadays it works, as Roger said, it could be either spouse. It doesn't matter. There's no gender. It used to be back in the, olden times.
Right.
It was usually the male. But now there are plenty of women.
There are house husbands out there. There
absolutely.
There are definitely cases where the dominant spouse economically, by a long shot, is the wife.
Let's talk to Karen, who's got a question about divorce assets. Good morning, Karen, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
What's your question, dear?
My question is, during a long-standing marriage, you decide that you're going to divorce. But in the process, one spouse has retired and is collecting several pensions and an IRA. Hmm. How do you go about and they have pretty much exhausted it. So how would the other spouse go about getting the half that they're entitled to?
Well, was it exhausted during the marriage?
Yes.
Well, they got it then, presumably, right?
If it's a pension, it's probably ongoing, so much per month. And that would certainly be divisible between the parties based on, sounds like virtually all of it would be marital if the spouse that had the job that paid him the pension was on the job and married for all those years.
Yes.
If there was any asset that was used up prior to the separation would not be considered a marital asset if you had...
Right. So if he has a pension and he raids the pension before the separation and uses those assets to buy flat screen TVs or what have you or vacations, then that's an asset that's used up in the marriage. It's no longer a marital asset. It's gone. It's over. You don't get a piece of it. So, now if they've become separated and then he uses a marital asset, I would assume that gets brought back into the estate for division?
Yeah. Well, you would, once there's a separation and a divorce filed, it's sometimes prudent to file for essentially an injunction against the dissipation of an asset. So you can get a court order that says, don't touch the pension, don't touch the 401k, don't withdraw any money from a bank account, whatever other asset it is. Unless it's cash sitting in the freezer, you can pretty much guarantee that the court can enter an order stopping people from taking the assets until you get to a point where you're doing a division of property, either by agreement of the parties or you're in front of a court putting on testimony to divide the assets. But as to an asset that was already used up, you're correct. I mean, if you had it 2 years ago and you don't have it now and now you're separating, the court's not going to consider that part of the marital estate.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
That answers part of the question. Yes, it does.
All right, dear. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
Thank you.
All right.
Now I have to find a new hiding place for my cash.
Yeah.
Can't be in the freezer anymore, everyone. That's been revealed.
Wait a minute. Tony Soprano used the freezer years ago.
I know. That's probably where you're getting the reference from.
That and the dog food or the some animal's food container. Let's talk to Ray from North Philly who's got a marriage and retirements question. Yo, Ray, welcome to Court Radio.
How you doing?
All right. What's your question?
Good. My question is basically about, I put money in a retirement fund, and I'm thinking about getting married, and if I get married and we divorce, what happens to my pension? Is she entitled to a portion of my pension?
if it's money that you have now, then it would be a premarital asset. If it increases in value during the life of the marriage, then the increase in value would be part of the marital estate. But if you have a prenuptial agreement that says my asset is going to be mine, then that would not be the case, as long as you do full disclosure in your prenuptial agreement so that the court does not later invalidate the prenuptial agreement and there's no fraud involved. Then you have the right to say, this is my separate asset, and it's treated that way, even though the divorce code would say that the increase in value of a premarital asset is ordinarily subject to division.
Right.
Now, if it goes down in value, because it's in the stock market, then there's nothing to talk about anyway.
Whoa, he's at the train station. All right, Ray, thanks for giving us a call, and have a great Sunday.
No, so, for some reason, I didn't hear anything. I thought maybe you guys were disconnected, but I got it.
So what's yours is yours now. What the increase in value when you're married becomes a marital asset. You can you can agree not to have that if you do a prenuptial.
That's the purpose of the prenuptial agreement, because once you get married, even if that asset is only in your name, it will be considered marital.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, he's had to be a train, I think.
Yeah,
that sounded like the Broad Street
subway. The subway or something, you know. All right, Raj, we really appreciate you coming in and talking to us about prenups and postnups. How do the folks who gave us a call, how do they reach you during the week to maybe get a prenuptial agreement? What's
the
number?
It's the law offices of Brian E. Quinn.
The old Brian E. Quinn law offices.
215-545-3338 is the number. We're at 15th and Walnut Streets in Center City, and we do cases in Philadelphia and the surrounding counties.
There you go.
215-545-3338.
If you got a prenup, postnup, you're nupping it up, then you need to talk to Roger about that before you jump into the waters. Folks, thanks for giving us your hour from 7 to 8. We're here every Sunday. This is Court Radio. Please listen. Next week, we'll be back, David and I, with a new show, 215-263-1003. We'll get you into the studio next week. If you want to reach us during the week, you can reach us at 215-227-2727. Thanks and have a great week. If your child suffered a birth injury, you know what matters. Getting proper medical care, counseling and assistance, knowing your rights, and getting just compensation to provide for your child's future matters. That's why your attorney matters. My Philly Lawyer is ready to fight relentlessly for you and your child. Call 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.